Father, we pray today, Lord. First, Lord, I want to pray for our children. That, Lord, you just anoint the word that will be taught to them. Be with Lori, Lord, as she brings your message to them. May their hearts be perceptive. May they hear what you have, and may their lives be transformed through the power of your word. And I pray now, Lord, as we dig into your word this morning, that you speak to us. Open our heart to your word. In Jesus' name. Well, this week, as we continue through the book of Colossians this upcoming week, I just encourage you to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 17, which, Lord willing, we'll be talking about next week. But last week, we saw a transition in the book of Colossians. The first two chapters primarily has been focusing on the sufficiency of Christ and what he has done for us. But near the end of chapter 2, we see where Paul begins this transition, this therefore. Before Paul talked and challenged those in Colossae, before he focused on like what Christ has done, now Paul's focusing on how that should impact the way that we live our lives. And I want to call that Christ-centered living, where Christ is our focus and how that impacts the way that we live our lives, Christ-centered living. And what does that look like? And we'll be talking about that in just a moment, but last week, Paul challenged those in Colossae, if you remember, to no longer get caught up in food and drink and festival or the Sabbath, but the substance belongs to Jesus Christ. And he was encouraging them to get rid of these rituals, these things that were just a shadow, but now they have Christ, so why do they need to do this anymore? But also, Paul challenged them not to be disqualified by focusing on asceticism, which is this kind of this extreme discipline of your body. Not to be caught up in the worship of angels and visions and seeking all these other things and not pursuing Jesus Christ. But also, we saw last week, he challenged them not to be caught up in silly regulations and self-made religion that appears to be wise, but it doesn't change your life. And I talked a little about how we are enticed as Christians to try to seek our own righteousness through our own endeavors, our own works. But we talked about last week where Jesus is our righteousness. We could try all we want. We can even go to Christian church, different Christian church. We could be involved. We could do all these things. But if we don't realize that our righteousness is only found in Jesus Christ and no other person, then we're just in a dead, work-oriented religious activity. It's Jesus Christ. He is the substance. He's our focus, Christ-centered living. But this leads me to the question, what does Christ-centered living look like? If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 as we continue through this book. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 and 2, it says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. And here in this passage, we see Paul challenging them to do two things. And the first is this. Seek the things that are above. Since we've been crucified in a sense with Christ, we've been buried with Christ, and now we have been risen with Christ, we are to walk in newness of life. We are to now seek those things that are above, not the things down here. When you think of the word, when I think of the word seek, or when you think of the word seek, what comes to your mind? You know, sometimes I think of to find, to explore, to search for something. And if you recall earlier in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, where Paul said this about Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this, of course, is the foundation of Christ-centered living. Jesus is our focus. In Christ, we find our hidden treasures. And we are called to seek, to find these treasures, to dig, to search, and we are not to be content with anything else. We want first to know Jesus, to seek those things that are above. But how else do we seek those things that are above? If Jesus is Christ-centered living, Jesus is our focus. We're pursuing to know him. We're trying to hear his voice. We're trying to get to know what he's like. But what else can we do to seek for things that are above? Of course, the obvious ones we've talked about in the past is prayer, right? Of talking with God, spending time with him, pouring out your heart, what's going on in your life. We've talked before about reading, the importance of reading God's word. We also have talked about meditation and quietness, where our heart is centered. We take time to be quiet and to listen to God. Also, another way we can seek those things that are above is finding good, solid, biblical Christian books and read those, where people have encountered Christ and they kind of reveal what God has shown them. These things can help guide us and motivate us to seek those things that are above. But then we also have to ask the kind of opposite question. What can hinder us from seeking those things that are above? And one thing that came to my mind, there can be many things I can say about this, but one thing that came to my mind is being tired. Doesn't just being tired hinder you at times from seeking God? We're just wore out. We just don't have the energy. Does anyone here relate to that? I'm tired. Recently, I realized, yes, as an adult, I need a bedtime. I know we have bedtimes for our kids, right? I need a bedtime. And I don't sleep great. I probably sleep between, say, 5 to 6 hours. But I realized recently, over the last weeks, you know, I've gotten into some books, and I'll read a series, a relaxing fantasy or sci-fi series, mainly fantasy. And I'm reading it. It's driving my wife crazy. She goes to bed, and I'm onto my phone reading it and all this. And then I realize if I go past, for me, 11 o'clock, my next morning to get up and spend time with God, I'm just tired. And it's easier for me not to do that because I'm just tired. And the rest of the day, I'm just kind of have that little tired. I wish I kind of went to bed earlier. So for me, my general, now on weekends it changes some, but my general bedtime trying to work at is 11 o'clock. I set it down and I go to bed. Because I remember one night my wife was like, honey, I'm going to bed. And I said, okay, well, it won't be long because I was setting my 11 o'clock bedtime for me. What about you? I don't know about you, but when I'm tired, my emotions get off. I get cranky. I never yell at my wife. Well, we don't really yell at each other, but we get, our words get, and we kind of start throwing those things at each other. Words, yes. Oh, okay, thank you. Now, I know there's times my wife wants to throw something at me. So I have a bedtime of 11 a.m. P.m., sorry. Oh, that'd be really nice. Now, one article that's interesting about sleep here, one article I came across this week by WebMD says this, that most adults need 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. And the consequences of too little sleep are what? Memory loss, feeling depressed, a weakening of your immune system, increasing your chance of becoming sick, and increase in your perception of pain. I know my daughter, as you guys may know, you know, our daughter has ADHD, and She doesn't get good sleep. It's like a emotional waterfall. Just blah, just comes out. We need to keep her on a schedule. You know, driving fatigue was responsible for an estimated 83,000 motor vehicle accidents between 2005 and 2019 and 803 deaths in 2016, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. So, if we want to seek those things above, maybe we need to start sleeping a little better. And I know there's many things. My dad sleeps normally 3 hours a night or so. If he was here, if he didn't have his five-hour energy, which he likes a lot, he'd be back there. And my dad was so good in church, he'd open his Bible, and he could look like he's reading his Bible. He'd be out. He just could not keep awake. There was even one time he was holding one of his grandchildren, and he almost fell into the aisle. And, man, that woke him up the rest of the service. He's like, he kind of grabbed him. And he's so embarrassed, and that kept him awake. But he has sleep or something. You know, he just can't sleep. And so he's on this machine, and still he can't get off. So I understand there's things, but there are choices that we can make to help us get better sleep. And it just reminds me of that scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Or do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. That sounds weird. I'm asleep. Well, how do we seek those things above? If we make choices, things that we can control, and not have rest for our bodies. Our bodies is a temple of the Holy Spirit. If we believe that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, we need to get adequate rest. And it gets really convicting. If you want to go further, how this truth can impact how we treat ourselves, the food we eat, the exercise we make. Well, that could really go into really a time of conviction, I think, for all of us. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. What else can hinder us from seeking those things that are above? I think a big thing is we get caught up in the things of this earth. We become mesmerized with the pleasures of this world. We focus our attention on now instead of the eternal. We become inward focused and self-centered. We lose our sight of eternal destiny. We lose our sight of eternity. Recently, I've been reminded about the importance of time. How quickly time goes by. How often I miss out on what God does in my life because I don't value the time that God gives me. Am I taking advantage of what God has given me? Am I just wasting my focus on so many frivolous things? And I'm guilty of this. What about you? As some of you know, I love to read and listen to books and so forth. And sometimes I can get caught up in these books, and my wife hates that about me. It drives my wife crazy. She said, "Reed, it can be an addiction to you." But then, you know, I get home, I'm tired, and I just want to read a book. I want to veg out, right? Do you guys know what I mean? You have a day, and you're tired. You may have sports and all. You just want to come home and veg. But you know what recently hit me? I think it was not this last prayer meeting, the prayer meeting before on a Wednesday night. I realized that by me spending so much time in my books, I was missing out with a time with my kids. And I remember coming home to my wife and telling her about that. I just, during the prayer time, we were praying here, and I just thought, hey, my kids are growing up. Olivia's 10, Calton's 12, you know, Braxton, with Braxton. But I mean, just the idea that I'm missing out on time with my kids. And I remember that, it was the night after, it was like that Thursday. I said, okay, kids, off electronics, you guys. I go, we're going to play Uno. You know, and it's always a little battle with our kids getting them off the electronics. But when I said Uno, you could tell they'd probably, if they could, they'd have kept watching. But when I said Uno, and we played a great game of Uno, we had a good time. I was like, no, I want to take value the time that God has given me. And it's easy when we're tired and we're just exhausted or even working hard. We come home and the easy thing is just to waste time. But I'll never get that time back with my kids again. That's about the sad part. Imagine with Bo and Natalie with Kindle going away. You can't go back and rewind time again. I think we would all do that if we could make up for the things that we did and we missed. But we can't do that. We can't do that. Spending time with our kids, being careful of the time that God has given us. Because you know what really hit me is I, as a parent, model to my kids. And our kids model us. So if something is controlling me and something's taking my time, it's taking their time, why are we upset at them for that? We need to model Christ on how we use our time, how we rest our bodies, how we treat our bodies. We need to be a model for our children. You know, one other thing that can really hinder us from seeking those things that are above is electronics, TV, and movies that we watch. Ooh. That's kind of a sensitive topic, isn't it? In our home, it is a constant battle. Is there anybody here who has that battle at home with kids and electronics, kind of like this constant battle? My wife and I have learned the best babysitter is electronics, but it's also the worst. How much time do we really waste? You know, when we took our kids to the pediatrician, it's something we use with our kids sometimes. His accountant tries to come up with, oh, I found YouTube. That's really good for your mind to watch your TV. You know, he's trying to defend what he's doing, right? You can find anything you want on YouTube. But I remember the pediatrician telling us, and we've used this with our kids, as you know, during the summer, you should have no more than 2 hours a day electronics. And during the school year, no longer than an hour. You know, this last week, Kelton got busted. In our home, we do have a bedtime, and maybe we're bad parents, but earlier the better for us. Then we have time to be alone, we have time for us. But Kelton, you know, we have our kids down, we try to get them ready, say 8:39, you get up there and get ready, brush your teeth, floss, and all this stuff. And so they're in bed, and my wife was walking by, and they're off electronics, and my wife notices Calton's bedroom door is closed. Kind of odd. He normally doesn't close his door. Well, my wife gets that thing, peeks in, and there's Calton watching his show in bed on his Kindle. My wife goes, Calton, takes the Kindle. You're off electronics tomorrow. You know what? We had him off for 2 days, and I told Kelton, I said, man, you know, we are keeping you off electronics until you're 19. He was more pleasant. We didn't get in battles with him. I remember getting home, and he goes, hey, Dad, you want to go play on the trampoline with us? And we went on the trampoline, and we brought Braxton. He was having a bad night. And so we're out there. Braxton's crying his head off. Livy and I were throwing this game where we toss this ball around the trampoline trying to make the person miss, and we're throwing this ball around. Having a great time. I'm like, man, I like when Kelton isn't on electronics. And so my wife and I were talking on a date. You know, we had kind of a car shopping date night last night. And I remember just talking, okay, what new restrictions do we need to place in our family on this area? What new restrictions do we need to place on Kelton and make things very clear so we don't have that constant battle? We want to seek the things that are above. But there's so many things that cause us to seek other things. As Christians, there are so many things that hinder us from seeking those things that are above. What is God saying to you today? Remember, since you have died with Christ, you have been set free from sin, and we are called to seek those things which are above. But we also see in this passage where Paul challenges us in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 2, set your minds on the things that are above and not on the things of the earth. Throughout the week, I just want you to ask yourself this question. Throughout the week, what do you think about? What kind of thoughts do you focus on? And Paul gives us a good list of those things, those thoughts that are from above in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 8, where it says this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Are these the type of thoughts that you dwell on throughout the week? Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Christ-centered living is greatly impacted by the things that we think about. For the Christian, the battle is either lost or won in the mind. How often we struggle, and see, or maybe we struggle, we've seen someone else struggle with the negative thoughts that tend to at times bombard our minds. Thoughts and feelings are like you're a failure. You're worthless. You just can't do it. Are you dwelling and fixating on those things? Or are you thinking of thoughts, setting your mind on things that are above? Or maybe these negative thoughts are a little more subtle than just you're a failure, you're worthless. But maybe while at home with your family, you yell at your spouse or your kids. You just have them one of those moments. And you feel that shame of that mistake. Or maybe you're driving a car and someone cuts you off and a few colorful words slip from your tongue. You feel defeated. Or maybe you are at work and hear some of your coworkers gossiping about a person, a coworker or something, and you join in the conversation and you really... it hits you that you are not reflecting Christ and you feel condemned. This Friday morning, my beloved wanted to get up early. All right, I'm going to get up early so I get to work so I could go to the doctor with Olivia, which she had an 11 o'clock appointment. And well, my wife didn't get up at 6 o'clock. It is a battle for her to wake up. She was rushing to get out the door, and Braxton ends up touching the hair straightener, and she hears the sizzle of his fingers on the hair straightener. And so that's going out. She's trying to get out. She's discouraged because she's not getting out when she wanted to. And she told me, I just kind of feel so discouraged. I feel this overwhelming failure. You ever feel like that as a parent? You think you have everything kind of laid out. You think it's going to go. And with kids, they always throw curveballs at you. It doesn't go the way. And you feel just overwhelmed as a failure as a parent. Maybe if I would have done this or that. And the thoughts come in that you just feel discouraged, overwhelmed in those thoughts. We are to set our mind on things that are above. Yes, we may have sinned or made a mistake in one of these things that we did. But you know what? We repent and we stand in the truth of who we are in Christ, for we died with Christ and we also rose again with Christ. Last year, I remember I handed out that sheet titled, remember, Who Am I in Christ? That list of who I am in Christ. And on that list, some of my favorites were this. And these are truths about who we are. These are setting your mind on things above. I am God's child, John 1:12. I am Christ's friend, John 15:15. I am free from condemnation, Romans 8:1. I am complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10. I can find grace and mercy in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. These are setting your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. If we want to overcome negative thoughts, we need to believe in the truth of who we are in Christ. to overcome the lies of the enemies. You may come to people and they think, I need to cast out this demon and I need to cast out that. But if we want to overcome the negative thoughts of the enemy, we just need to believe the truth of God's word and believe it. And even at times speak it. That's what drives out the enemy, is God's truth. Not trying to be all spiritual and doing all these things, because the devil was defeated at the cross. He is a lion with no teeth. He's been defeated. We just need to believe and stand in the truth. Yet how often we set our minds on things that the enemy whispers to us. And this leads me to this question. How can we seek the things that are above if our minds are set on the things of the earth? These things are, it's impossible. They're tied together, these two truths. To seek, if you want to set our mind on things above, we need to seek those things that are above. If we seek those things that are above, we'll set our mind on the things that are above. They're tied together, these two truths that Paul is saying here. How do we do this? How do we protect what comes into our mind? And of course, the first thing is standing in the truth of who you are. If you don't have that list and you want that list, I could give it to you again. Take those things, memorize them, put them on your refrigerator, put them on your mirror in your bathroom. Ladies, I know some of you spend a lot of time there. Maybe not. My wife would if she didn't have kids. What can we do to protect our mind? Number one, hang out with family and friends that will speak truth and love into your lives. You know, unfortunately, we're born into our families. But that doesn't mean you have to spend all your time with those people. Those people or friends or family that speak negativity, tear you down, throw things in your life. You know what? They're your family. Sure, love them. Yeah. Spend Christmas, do certain things. But you know what? You don't have to spend that much time with them. The people we hang out with can impact us, can hold us back from seeking what's above and setting our minds on the things. When people say negativity against us, it lingers, it tears us up, it rips us up. It's hard to do that. So choose those family and friends that you will hang out with. Two, as I said before, monitor what we read, listen to, and watch on TV. Garbage in, garbage out. If we fill our mind with the world, what will come out? The world. See, when we fill our minds with the thinking of the world, it inflames our desire, it entices us. As being a man, I need to protect what goes into my eyes. Because what I see inflames my desire. If I watch a movie, as someone say, with a lot of skin in it, it impacts what I set my mind on. We also really need to protect the minds of our children. You know, some articles out there discuss the effects of watching too much TV or gaming for our kids. Some say it increases the possibility of depression or can develop affect mental development and health. It can hinder healthy social development and can damage our brain of our kids as they develop. It can be an addictive behavior. One article by Health Prep states, quote, excessive use of electronics can lead to issues with brain health. This is particularly important when the electronics use is an addictive behavior. Researchers have discovered individuals can become addicted to the internet and gaming. And multiple studies indicate that the brain's gray matter begins to atrophy, which means to waste away, degenerate of cells in the brain. The frontal lobe is affected, leading to impairment in executive functioning, unquote. How are we protecting our kids? How are we modeling for them? And you know, the hard part is this. My wife and I struggle with this, and we fail in this many times. Like I said, it's harder to do it right because it's so much easier to say, kids, go down there and maybe spend 2-3 hours there and we can just do whatever we want, right? It's harder to do sometimes what Scripture tells us to do because then we really have to engage with our kids. We have to work at it. We have to do it. And it's easy to be tempted just to give in because you're tired, not getting rest, right? And you're wasting time that you can't have with your children. So be careful on what you watch. If you want to seek those things above, if you want to set your mind on things above, be careful on what you watch, read, and listen to, and how much of it. 3, read and meditate on God's word. Psalms 19:7-8 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is true, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Read and meditate on God's word. 4, speak out God's truth. When things come to our mind, they're not of God. When we're tempted not to seek what's above, but seek of the earth. Sometimes we need to speak out the truth of God's word. And we see Jesus modeling that in Matthew 4 when he was been tempted by the devil. What did he do? He came against the devil with the truth of God's word. And sometimes it may be just say, hey, no. You as a guy, you go through something and a thought comes in your mind, an impure thought maybe about another woman or another picture you've seen, and you can say, no. I have made a covenant with my eyes. I will not look at a woman in that way. You know, the statement of Job. And or you say, no, Jesus says, if you look at a woman to lust for her, you committed adultery. No, I will not. And you just use God's word. Speak out God's word and truth. Speak out God's truth. 5, worship. You want to set your mind on things above, if you want to, you know, seek those things above, worship. You know, if I come home and my wife has worship music on, that tells me she's had a hard day. Now, I mean, there's times she just likes to have worship, yes. But that's one sign I look for as a husband with my wife. When I come home and she's just, it helps bring her focus, it helps bring that peace. And sometimes even with myself in the mornings before I pray, throughout the weekdays, I'll have my headphones set on, which is sometimes a little different because my wife is talking to me and I didn't hear. But I have my headphones on. I just kind of focus on worship. I remember her coming in, oh, that's why you didn't answer me. I'm like, yeah, in my headphones, I'm trying to center my focus. If we want to seek what's above, we want to set our minds on above. Worship. Worship. And the last one I want to say, 6, is this. Thankfulness. Turn our negative thoughts into gratitude. Like that very first verse of the old song, count your blessings, right? The first verse, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So as believers, Paul is challenging us here in these two verses of chapter 3 to seek those things that are above, to set our mind on the things above. How are you doing in those areas? In what area? Maybe you need to repent. You need to get your life right with God so you could bring your thoughts, yeah, you could bring your focus to seek those things that are above. But we see here in Colossians chapter 3 and 3 and 4, where it says this, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory." Here again, Paul brings us back to our source of strength, meaning, and purpose. He just said, set your mind, seek those things above. Set your mind on things above. And sometimes when we look at that, we feel that failure. We feel like, I just don't do it. Oh, I'm just, there's no way. But then Paul brings it back to the focus. Jesus Christ, he is your life. He's the one that can help you seek those things above. He is the one that can help you set your mind on things that are above. If you want to seek those things that are above, if you want to set our mind on things above, we need to come to realize that first I've died in Christ and my life is found in him. He's my source of strength. He's my source of peace. He's my treasure above all treasures. When we realize this truth, it will motivate us to seek and to set our mind on things above. If the worship team can come forward, please. And I am reminded of this very powerful verse in Galatians 2:20. Listen to this statement of Paul, which is so powerful. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For I have died, and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. Where are you at today? And I speak the truth about things that could build up the way we seek above or set our mind. When I think of things that can hinder that, the enemy could come in and bring condemnation, make you feel a failure, you aren't doing this, you aren't doing that. But you know what protects us is when we feel that way, one of the first things we need to do is realize that Jesus is our life, that we cannot do it without because one thing, the difference between condemnation and conviction is this. Condemnation comes, there's hopelessness in it. Anytime the true conviction of the Holy Spirit, there's always hope for the future. So when he convicts you of something, you can look at it, and you can look at it and not feel that, that overwhelming. Sometimes you kind of feel that conviction, kind of you don't like it. But then it should not keep going unless you don't repent. But if you sit there and go, no, I am wrong here, thank you, Lord. Because with Jesus, there's always mercy and grace. With the enemy, you're done. Your God's done with you. There's failure. No way he's going to work in your life anymore. That is not the Holy Spirit. So my challenge to you today as we sing this last song. First, what has God said to you today? What may be something you need to come and repent before him? And my second challenge is this. Whatever you do between you and God, center on him to be your life. Say, Lord, today I failed in these areas, but I need you to be my life in a fresh way so I can live and seek you and set my mind on things that are above. Let us worship.